Buccaneers fans, the playoffs are here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, and you can watch the games with a great doubleheader special at Big Storm Clearwater on Monday. Both games includes two beers or craft cocktails, two half Tampa pressed Cuban sandwiches. They're fantastic. Ira loves that Cuban. Two cups of chicken noodle or Bramosa cream of mushroom soup, only $22.22. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to see the whole menu and check out the special at JoeBucksFan.com. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford since 1958, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side on Dale Mabry. Their exclusive offer has been extended now. 0% APR financing for 72 months on new 2023 Fords. Check out which ones and all the details at BillCurryFord.com. But you won't find the deal anywhere else because the Curry family is buying down the interest to make this available to their customers in Tampa and beyond. BillCurryFord.com. The Ira Kaufman podcast discount is also in effect. So that means you reach out to GM Sean Sullivan and you tell him Ira sent you and you want to talk some football because he is a huge Bucs fan, host of the Best in Class podcast, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Start shopping now at BillCurryFord.com and you can get Sean's email right there on the website. All right, Sage, calm down. Before we bring in Ira, Florida's EliteRestoration.com should be in your favorites. You should have already checked them out if you're a homeowner or a business owner, and then you're ready. Anytime there's a disaster at your home or property, wind damage, storm damage, flood, fire, mold, you call them 24/7, and they will come out, give you a free evaluation with the latest and greatest technology at your property. And if you move forward with them, they're going to go to bat for you with your insurance company to get what's needed to restore your property, money that you have earned because you've been paying for your insurance. Florida's EliteRestoration.com, they are fantastic. They service the entire Bay Area, but they're a small enough company where you're going to get that personal touch. Owner Josh Martin loves the Bucks, loves Ira, good friend of Ira. Bill Curry Ford, a GM, Sean Sullivan, was his customer. And we have nothing but great things to say about them. When you call, if you need their services, when you first call, ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. Mention Joe Bucks fan. You will get $500 back if you eventually need their services after that free evaluation. Florida's EliteRestoration.com.
You know, Ryan Jensen, you know, he shut off the hot water that day, and I was freezing my butt off in that shower. Freezing.
All right, so here he is, the mighty Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, everybody's favorite Sage. Ira, it is always great to talk to you. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. And Sage, you know, we have to ask first, you were at one buck. Any impressions? I know you said you were looking for confidence. And then, of course, you know, we got some other important questions to ask you.
Well, I saw a lot of confidence. I think they're very happy the way this playoff thing shook out with the seedings. They want another crack at the Eagles. They were kind of embarrassed about what happened in week three. Same place, Raymond James Stadium. And Lee and I were there, and Bowles said, and he didn't hedge it, they beat us on both sides of the ball. That was the theme, that the Eagles were the more physical team. Steve, what's a little bit ominous is that was week three, and I kind of heard the same thing 2 weeks ago after the Saints game, which is a little disconcerting when you have an opportunity to wrap up a division title and you get out physical. So that's been a problem up and down this season. There were times when it hasn't been an issue, but Steve, it's been pretty consistent. The game's going to be won in the trenches, but the Eagles are very sloppy. Steve, they're sloppy during this 1-5 spurt. You know, they've turned the ball over 12 times. They got 4 takeaways, -8. Lee, you're not going to win. You're not going to win too often when you're -8. I know how you are on turnovers, but they can bury you, Lee, in this league. But I talked to Winfield. I do work the locker room. You know, I was there for Mike Evans at the podium. You know, Lee, Mike Evans, he's very even keel. Yeah. You never see him excited unless he's playing Marshawn Lattimore. That guy can get to him. But, you know, when he comes out here, and it's a playoff game, you know, do or die. I mean, Lee, there's always a chance. You know, whatever percentage you want to put on it, it's not 3%. This could be Mike Evans' last game in a Buck uniform. That's not crazy. Absolutely. So, He's remarkably even keel. I think that helps make him the great player that he is. And Lee, I could just see you next to me when Bull said, don't make mistakes, don't make mistakes, play smart football. That's not going to change, Lee. That's just the way that the philosophy is at $1 right now. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Lee, it seems everybody and their mother is taking the Bucks in this game. Everybody seems to be jumping on the Bucks. And Lee, I don't think it's because of the way the Bucks are playing. It's got to be the way the Eagles are playing.
Well, I know Chris Russo, for example, your buddy on SiriusXM, he was on a podcast this week, and he was moaning and groaning about the Bucks and Eagles on Monday night. Poor ESPN, they got the shaft. They got stuck with Tampa a second week. There's no juice in this game. There's no pizzazz. There's no sex appeal. He's down on the Bucks. He can't go with the Bucks. You know. And of course, Russo is a typical fan. It's quarterback. You don't have a quarterback? You're not entertaining me? I don't want to waste my time with you.
That's right. That's right.
But I got to say this about you working in the locker room, and this is a very compliment to you. Whenever I see Ira in the locker room, he's always talking to the big shots by himself, alone, no one else, and media relations leaves Ira alone. If I go try to talk to a named player, they'll shoo me away, like, oh, he's talking tomorrow, or he's not talking today. They get kind of restless when they see me walking around. Maybe they know that I'm looking for something. I don't know. But I always see Ira. He's talking to Antoine Winfield. And a couple of days later, I see him. He's got Mike Evans in the corner. And then 5 minutes later, he's got Jason Light in the hallway. Not too long ago, I saw Ira talking to Todd Bowles in the hallway. Ira gets crap done.
You know, Lee, part of the reason that the Buck PR people are very observant of you, maybe they think you're going to take something out of Winfield's locker, Lee. I mean, you might take those cleats out because you know what? One day, those cleats might be worth a lot of money, gentlemen.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I'm getting way off base here, but Ira, do you remember when Brady was here? There's a locker next to his that it was empty. Nobody used it. And it was chock full of footballs and shoes. And I don't know if you ever noticed that or not, but the thing literally went up to the top of the locker, packed with shoes and footballs. And what that was, his teammates say, Tom, can you sign us for this, Jerry? Tom, can you sign us for that, Jerry? Yeah, I'll take care of it. Just put it in that locker. I'll take care of it. He eventually did, but that's how many requests the guy got. His locker was literally stocked full, the empty one next to his. Full of nothing but footballs and shoes.
No question about it. And Steve, in another year, that might be Yaya Diaby might have an empty locker next to him.
Well, it is amazing how the Sage works the locker room, just, you know, finds his way, finds who he wants. I remember that day, Ira, you remember that day when you were actually showering with the offensive line?
Oh,
you know, Ryan Jensen, you know, he shut off the hot water that day, and I was freezing my butt off in that shower. Freezing.
All right. Now, look, Ira, interesting stuff going on here, and I'm glad you're feeling all the vibes that you are in the locker room. And Baker Mayfield, I thought it was notable that he made an appearance, a national appearance. He's been trying to keep a little bit of a low profile for sure. He's an excellent interview. He gets along with the media types. You know the requests have been there, but he showed up on the Rich Eisen show and, you know, talked about how the Bucks have allowed him all season to lead in his own way, be himself, you know, needle people around the building. Apparently Mayfield's the kind of guy to go up to, seems like he's the kind of guy to go up to a Glazer and make a wisecrack, you know, or needle this one on the defense and, you know, just be himself. And he likes that he can be that way. And they told him, just be you. And he said that Todd Bowles even told him when he was with him in the jet with, you know, interviewing when the Jets had that draft pick where they thought they might get Mayfield, Bowles told him, you know, I just want you to come here and be yourself. Don't worry about your leadership style is good with me. Just be you. Mayfield said he always remembered that. But the big money question, Ira, came from Rich Eisen. Hey, Baker, do you think this is your spot after however long you play in the playoffs this year? Are you home? And Mayfield said he hopes for that. Quote, here's the thing. I've allowed myself to go into free agency again to show people what I'm capable of. But yeah, it's been a great place here and I would love to be back. So you couple that, Ira, with Baker Mayfield saying to the media, I thought it was an important one-liner when he talked to the local media, and he said that he had, quote, a great year. You know, Mayfield sees himself as, hey, I gambled on myself. I had a, quote, great year. We're in the playoffs. Show me the money. So I think that's kind of where he stands right now. What do you make of all that?
Well, Lee, of course it's show me the money. I mean, he's not any different than anybody else in that regard. Lee, I might be a little naive here, but the guy just resuscitated his whole career in Tampa. He's got a head coach that can't say enough about him in Todd Bowles, and you have to think at this point that Bowles is coming back. Lee, another team throws him some more money. Is that really going to make the difference for Mayfield when he's comfortable with this organization after bouncing around from franchise to franchise like a nomad, a journeyman, and he's got to like his teammates, he's won them over. Lee, I think as long as the Bucs are competitive economically with Baker Mayfield, I'm not sure they have to match dollar for dollar. After everything he's been through, why would he want to go somewhere else when he knows he's comfortable at one buck place?
Oh, I agree. And, you know, Bowles has his back. He's a Bowles guy. Bowles is a Mayfield guy. Yeah, he's got job security here. He's got success here, which is, I think, very important, which also leads to money here. He seems to be really good friends with a lot of the offensive linemen, in particular Tristan Wirfs. He's won the team over. You hear defensive players talk highly of him. Offensive players love him. Mike Evans thinks he's the, you know, he said, wow, I never knew the guy was like this. He's a great guy, great competitor. It's all starting to fall together in place for Baker Mayfield. I can't imagine, unless some team gets really, really crazy and offers him the moon, I can't see him leaving.
I was talking to a former league executive today, former, and we were talking about Mayfield. He says that the guy reminds him in so many ways of Jeff Garcia. And before, you know, Buck fans cringe, Jeff Garcia had a pretty good career, guys. He did. He won a lot of games. He made the playoffs a lot of times. He was a pretty good quarterback for the Bucs. Now, when you have a chance to get Brett Favre in 2008, you take your shots. I don't think that's a rip on Garcia. So, Steve, I think Mayfield's value goes a little bit beyond his pure statistics. I think they like the fact that he's gritty, he plays hurt, he's tough, and those are intangibles. I just think they'd be hard-pressed to move on without him. Life goes on, Steve. If they lose him, they lose him, and then, you know, maybe they can draft somebody. But as far as Bowles is concerned, I don't think he has any questions about the guy under center.
Yeah, two things, Sage. First, Jeff Garcia played 11 NFL seasons. He made 4 Pro Bowls, so that's a pretty good ratio right there, to say the least.
Yes.
But to throw this out there as a hypothetical, and just go with me and answer the question, Ira, and I'll explain to you where I'm going. Todd Bowles, do you believe next year, let's just say the Bucs win a playoff game and then they lose. Okay. Next year, if Todd Bowles goes 8-9, do you think he's going to stick around?
Boy, you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit, Stevie.
For a reason, it's a hypothetical. If Bowles goes 8-9 next year with Mayfield, do you think Bowles sticks around?
I think he'd be in an awful lot of trouble.
Exactly.
I think he'd have very little job security.
Exactly. So Mayfield knows that. He knows that Bowles is on thinnish ice, you know, in the sense of he's got to keep winning. So if Mayfield says to himself, hey, look, maybe his agent says, if you don't want a long-term deal unless it's a ton of money and they put the franchise tag on, you take it, because if you're successful, then you'll have them over a barrel. And if you're not successful, Todd Bowles is going to get fired anyway, and the new coach isn't going to want you. So just go with the 1 year, slap the tag on you, and we'll stick to that, and we'll bet on you again, and we'll see what happens. You think that's possible?
That is possible. And Steve, we got to say up front, the franchise tag ain't cheap. Right, Steve? It ain't cheap. In terms of quarterbacks, I think Bowles would be okay with that. And I think that's a way of Mayfield to bet on himself. Steve, one way of answering your question about an 8-9 season in 2024, I don't think Mayfield ever thinks that one of his teams is going 8-9 when he's the starting quarterback. He's got a lot of confidence in himself. Lee, you've seen it all season.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the beginning of the year, he didn't have any doubts that he was going to have a really good season. I think he's a strong candidate for comeback player. Maybe you can explain this to me, guys. I need an explanation. And I think I saw Florio, who we respect, and for his comeback player, I don't know if he had Flacco first or second, but he had Mayfield third. He had Flacco ahead of Mayfield. Guys, I don't understand Flacco ahead of Mayfield. I just don't understand it.
I think it's because he's with a popular franchise, a historic franchise, even though, you know, technically that franchise plays in Baltimore, but you get my drift, in a wildly popular NFL town, and he's putting up better numbers than Mayfield.
But Mayfield's taking every snap, Lee.
I agree. I'm not advocating for Flacco, but I'm just saying why people are behind Flacco. He's got a lot of other ancillary issues going on besides just Joe Flacco and six starts or whatever, however many starts he's made.
I get it. But, Steve, anybody who says that Mayfield's not a strong candidate, they have no idea how low Mayfield's stock was going into free agency, Steve. Yeah. You know that.
Ira, I got to ask you about the franchise tag. That really surprises me. I don't know, man. Franchise tag on Baker and Mayfield? If it came to that, you know, if the contract situation came to that, like a butting of heads, if I'm Jason Lives, okay, I'll go up and trade up and get Bo Nix, or I'll get Michael Penix. That's a boatload of money for Mayfield. That's a boatload of money for any quarterback. And I'm not anti-Mayfield, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't have an issue with them signing him to a three-year contract and drafting a quarterback. But franchise tag, that's a serious, serious hit on your salary cap. And does Mayfield, is he that good to warrant a franchise tag? The kind of money that's going to cost?
You're making a good point, Lee. And Steve, the Bucks, they don't lack for candidates for that franchise tag, Steve. They have several that they have to mull it over what to do in terms of long-term and franchise tag. There's a lot to think about this offseason.
Yeah.
I would absolutely use that franchise tag on Evans or even Winfield, for that matter, before I'd use it on Mayfield.
Well, I think it really just depends on the Glazers' mindset on how badly they want to win. Because if they think Mayfield's their key to winning next year, whatever that winning looks like, you know, the franchise tag this year for quarterbacks was $32.5 million. It's probably going to be about $34, $35 million for next year. You know, maybe they feel, hey, we need a quarterback before anything else. So that's the current rate and that's the price. It feels like a ton, but it's less than what Derek Carr got. So why would Baker Mayfield want less money than Derek Carr?
One thing I would say with certainty, guys, and it doesn't mean they're going to nail down Mayfield or keep him from going to free agency, but you know, when Bowles and Jason Light have their postseason discussions, we know Bowles is very mild-mannered late in front of that podium. He ain't going to be mild-mannered in Jason Light's office when the discussion turns to should we keep Baker Mayfield. He's going to pound that table and say, are you nuts? We got to have Mayfield.
Oh, yeah. If Bowles is back, which I still don't know if that's the case, Ira, but we talked about that in the last podcast episode. And we'll see, you know, barring a disaster, probably that's what happens. But you can find any of Ira's podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Sage is everywhere. Ira, Todd Bowles said this on the radio. I had to pause, and I know a lot of fans did too, that he was asked, what's the key to a Buccaneers victory in the playoffs? Not just against the Eagles, but just in general. What's the playoff formula for victory? Bowles very confidently said, quote, it's about being stout defensively, not turning the ball over. Offensively, being able to run it. Well, what's your thought about Todd Bowles saying the key is running the ball, no turnovers?
Steve, how many times did you replay that soundbite, Stevie? What, was it six or seven? We can't be surprised.
No.
We've been around Todd Bowles for 2 years, almost 2 years, as the head coach. He's very consistent. He was a defensive player. He was a safety for some pretty good teams, and that's his philosophy, Lee. It's not going to change.
We've discussed this over and over and over for infinitum. That's just the way defensive coaches are wired. They're wired that way. You know, turnovers are more important than points. I swear. That's why Mike Vrabel's out of a job. You know, his idea of a good quarterback was Ryan Tannehill. That's the way these guys think. They talk a better game, like, you know, Bowles did your podcast at the Combine, and I was shocked when he agreed with Mike Leach about balanced offenses getting the ball to your playmakers. But we don't see that. But he says that. But that's, these guys are wired like that, man. Oh, I can win with Ryan Tannehill. Oh, I can win with a Super Bowl Baker Mayfield. I can win with Will Levis. They're anti-points. Points to them are a sacrilege. It's because it's a bad thing. It's the foundation of their beliefs is anti-points because they're defensive guys. And I just can't. I have no words. I have no words.
And Steve, let's not forget. What franchise Todd Bowles played predominantly for, which was the former Redskins, and he was a pretty good player. And what did they do? They always won a turnover battle. They ran the ball like hell, you know, with Riggins and company in the 80s, and they played stout defense. Steve, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree here.
Well, I got into it with a couple of our commenters on JoeBucksFan.com. Like, I'll get rid of Bowles, hire Mike Vrabel, and what? He's the same guy. What are you talking about? And and I told him, I said, they're both from the Bill Parcells tree. The only difference is Parcells knew the value of a star quarterback. The rest of these guys don't. Even Belichick, you know, we go in with Mac Jones. Come on.
And Steve, I do have to add this little codicil. That's your word of the day, Lee. Steve, I was talking about the Redskins and Joe Gibbs. And Steve, I know you're in front of your computer. In 1983... they were the defending champs. I believe they set the NFL scoring record that year, 1983. That was the year they lost to the Raiders badly in Tampa in the Super Bowl. They scored a hellacious number of points during the 1983 season. I also think they might have scored 51 points in a playoff game that year against Eric Dickerson's Rams. They were an offensive juggernaut. Now, they were still a running team, Lee, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But Theismann was a pretty good quarterback, Lee. They had Theismann.
Sage, one thing that I think is interesting on this whole note of the Bowles philosophy, you know, Ali Marpet, he's on the Buccaneers radio network now, and he's a real homer, you know, just he's falling into that.
He's becoming one of your go-to guys over there, Stevie.
Well, he's interesting, but of course he's a total homer. And so everybody's great, everybody's special, everybody's growing, everybody's progressing, everything's awesome. And at the very end, I suffered through all this stuff. At the very end of this hour show, he's asked about, you know, well, what do you think the offense might tweak a little differently to be successful on Monday? And he essentially says, I'm summing it up here, but he essentially says, well, I think we need to be a little more creative and stop running up the middle and you know, getting the ball to Rashad White in the short passing game, maybe run a few more sweeps. So after all that, we finally hear from somebody who knows what he's looking at saying, stop slamming the ball up the middle.
You know, that's an interesting point because, Lee, when Mike Evans said to me, you remember that in a training camp, I'm running routes I've never run before. So there are aspects of Canales' scheme that are creative. But, Lee, running the ball is not one of them. It's not. See, a lack of imagination. Lee, they never run wide. I mean, never mind run the ball. They run the same way, it seems to me.
Canales was asked about that, oh my gosh, early in the season, third or fourth week.
He doesn't think they're built to run wide. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, his philosophy is, and I applaud him for his philosophy, but at some point, don't you have to mold your philosophy to the talents of your players? To me, that's the core of an offensive coach. What talent do you have? How can I get the most out of this talent? Don't force feed a certain way. And that's a core belief of mine. But anyway, I applaud him for saying this and how he sticks to his beliefs, you know, sticks to who he is. But that may not be the smartest thing to do. He was asked about running outside. My experience is run outside is really hit or miss. You can't get into a flow. You can't get into a rhythm. You can't bank on it. And he said, if you run up the middle and you're able to get going, get a rhythm, get some momentum, that snowballs. He said that's hard to do when you run outside. It was an interesting thought. I never heard of it said that way before, articulated like that. Very interesting. I don't know if I swallow it, but it's interesting.
Steve, that's an interesting thought. But you know what's a more interesting thought, Steve?
Winning?
They're 32nd in running the football. That's more interesting.
They haven't figured it out, so hopefully Todd Bowles has figured out that that's not the way to win a playoff game. And that's a great way to give the Eagles confidence on defense. That's the part I'm a little worried about. It's like I could just see them slamming the ball up the middle and the Eagles, you know, holding them to 3-yard runs thinking, hey, you know, we're getting back here. We're getting off the field. You know, we're back. You know, we don't need them having any confidence. Sage, what should have every Bucks fan confident is that because of the overwhelming response, Bill Curry Ford has reactivated the 0% APR financing for 72 months, extended it on 2023 Ford F-150s, Edges, Escapes, Expeditions, and Broncos Sports. And that is only at Bill Curry Ford, because the Curry family is buying down the interest. So you can get 0% financing. Go to BillCurryFord.com and check it out today. Don't blow it. It is an incredible, incredible offer. Ira, this game with the Eagles, you've seen all the hype. You've been part of the hype, you know, on your national radio. You've done 700 million interviews this week all over the country, including in Philadelphia. Is there anything you've learned about the Eagles through your travels and research and your calls that you feel we need to know here?
Steve, there's one dynamic of this matchup that's really troubling me. Lee, the way to exploit the Eagle defense, which has been awful, just awful, during this tailspin, is through the air. I mean, they don't cover. They don't cover. Breakdowns in communication, guys are wide open. I can't be too confident with the way Mayfield's throwing the ball right now, Lee. I can't. There's no way that he's even close to, 95%. He's hampered. He's hampered. And if, as Steve suggests, the running game goes nowhere, and there's a pretty good chance that it will go nowhere, I don't know. You know, the Eagles still got some – they got some pass rushers. They still got some guys. You know, Reddick's still a good rusher. Fletcher Cox knows what he's doing. While their third down defense has been really bad, Lee, Philly, and I really can't understand it, you got to smack them through the air, Lee. I'm totally with you on this one. And I'm not sure that's going to be the game plan. And I'm not sure Mayfield can carry it off because, Lee, I'm still looking at that Mike Evans play. I couldn't believe it. 10 yards in the open. I think you might have been able to hit him. Isbitz might have been able to hit him. And that was a wounded duck, Steve. A wounded duck.
Yeah, that pass just died.
The safety who was totally out of the play had time to come over and do a deflection on it. I'm not sure he's much more healthy now than he was a week ago, so... That's a troubling aspect. Is I'm not sure the Bucks are well prepared right now to exploit their big weakness.
Lee, what do you think about that?
I really agree with you. And this you could say goes back to the New Orleans game. If they would have showed up, they didn't show up. I don't know why they didn't show up. You know, that's kind of a red flag. You got a chance to beat your division rival at home, wrap up a playoff berth, and you don't show up. That's kind of like, you know, warning sirens. But they didn't show up. Had they showed up and won that game, well, you could have rested Mayfield. But, as we know, that didn't happen. So you had to put Mayfield out there against Carolina. You had to let him get hit a few times, maybe when he shouldn't get hit. You had a handicapped quarterback out there. I don't think there's any doubt about it. We all saw it. And when I read the stats, and when I heard that report from Shannon Spake about how Mayfield wouldn't even talk to Canales or anybody on the bench. He was just leaning over, heavy breathing, trying to get some inner strength so he can go back out in the field. And that's borderline irresponsible on Bull's part and the team's fault for, again, you know, not showing up against New Orleans. And that leads me to this question, Ira. What kind of chances, barring Mayfield getting dragged off the field with an injury, what are the chances if Mayfield's ineffective that they'll pull him for Trask?
Zero.
That's what I'm thinking.
Zero.
I was thinking maybe 3%, but yeah, it goes to zero. I don't think Bowles has any want or desire to have Trask take a snap unless it's a 40-point game.
Absolutely. Steve, I got to give you my pick. All right, so I'll start it off. Guys, it pains me to say it. It does. The Eagles have better players. The Eagles have a better roster. They were 10-1 for a reason. Now, they've stunk it up for 6 weeks. Sirianni's not a terrible coach, even though he might get run out of town. I mean, it's hard to believe. The guy was in the Super Bowl last year. I just think the Eagles will play well enough. Not great, but well enough. It's not going to be like week three. It's not going to be 25-3 Eagles in the fourth quarter. But I got the visitors 24-21, Steve, and painful as it sounds, that is going to warm the hearts of 15,000 Eagle fans that are going to turn out Monday night.
and the Bucks decide to play offense like they did against the Packers, like they did against the Jags, I think they could beat the Eagles. Unfortunately, I don't expect that to happen. It's starting to smell like that two-game spurt with the offense against the Packers and the Jags. That was an outlier. And down the road a couple of years, it wouldn't surprise me if I heard from someone in the locker room. They said, yeah, Todd Bowles told Canales to tone it down. He's getting too forward, too much offense. I would not be surprised. So if the Bucs try to play ground and pound, I don't think it's going to work. And therefore, given how this offense has stunk out loud the last couple weeks, especially last week against Carolina, especially with Mayfield being beat up, 26-13 Eagles.
I have to come clean and say that this game is a total train wreck from a gambling analysis standpoint. So I would advise everybody and everyone to stay away from it. I mean, I look at the Eagles and I see their quarterback has an injured hand. They've got accusations running wild in Philadelphia that players are quitting. Players don't want to move on to the next round because they know they got no shot against San Francisco, and that the team's imploding and all kinds of stuff. The Bucs don't have any of that. The Bucs just have show up issues and start fast issues and problems that have returned the past couple of weeks where they weren't there during their 4-game winning streak. So I don't really know what to make of anything at all. And Mayfield is hurt. So what does that mean? What is he capable of? To me, it's a mess of a game to try to handicap, but I got to pick a winner. So I'm going to pick the Bucks only because they don't have that internal strife. And we've seen this before with teams, just in our years watching the NFL where, a lot of times a team limps into the playoffs for a reason. And yeah, like Ira said, the Eagles have talent, but that makes it kind of worse for me because you got all this talent and you imploded. That's sort of a bigger red flag. So in the battle of two red flags, I'm going with the Bucks 21-17.
The Eagles really imploded.
Yeah, so I mean, hey, if they're that bad, they're that bad. All right, Sage has checked out, Lee, but I'm going to run one past you, and then we'll get out of here. And, of course, we'll remind everybody, thank you. Our great thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer, and they got their great vodka sodas, which are buy two, get one free all week. And Bill Curry Ford, which presents all of Ira's work, BillCurryFord.com. Lee, Todd Bowles made a weird comment this week, and he was asked about Canales stepping up his game for the playoffs. And Bowles just said, oh, it's just experience. Dave is so bright. He's extremely sharp, great teacher. It's just experience, and he's getting more and more each week. And he says, quote, games in different weather. He's learning which way to go with the wind, the plays you can do, the throws you can make, the runs you can make when you're with the wind or against the wind, when you're up by 10, when you're down by 10, blah, blah, blah. So it was windy in Charlotte. And I'm listening to Bowles say this. I'm like, well, apparently Bowles thinks Canales was screwing up the play calls because he didn't know what to call in the wind or not call in the wind. And it sort of smelled like he was saying, you should run the ball more. I don't know. What's your take on that?
And looking back at that game, it sure looked like they were protecting Mayfield. Now, Bowles was basically asked that. He's like, were you limiting the offense because Mayfield was hurt? And at first, he goes, well, that's a fine line. And then he kind of like said, well, yeah. So I don't know what to think, what was going on. I got to tell you, Steve, I'm confused about this offense. We all know it's built to throw. We all know that there's only one team the last 3 years has had 2,000-yard receivers. We both know that Rashad White is excellent catching the ball out of the backfield, especially against linebackers. He's deadly one-on-one against linebackers. And yet Canales is bound and determined to run up the middle. And if Bowles didn't want that, I'm sure he would have long ago told Canales, knock off running up the middle. We got receivers. Let's go. The opposite has happened. So that's basically Bowles getting his approval. He's good with that. This whole offense is confusing. Throwing with the wind, learning how to throw. I mean, shouldn't he know that long ago? Big grief, wasn't he a quarterback in high school? Shouldn't he have known that? I mean, I don't know.
Well, he was a receiver. It was just a weird comment. The Bucs are 19th in the NFL this year in passing attempts, and 23rd in rushing attempts. They pretty much got the balance they were looking for. We're just looking for less balance because of how the team is built. And they've proven that they're just not good at running the ball. So if they're going to keep trying, that's just, it was just disturbing to me when Bowles made that comment, oh, you got to run the ball. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. But what I do know is that they've got a great chance to win this game. Nobody would be surprised if they walked out beating the Eagles. I just picked them, so I certainly wouldn't be surprised. And that would create quite a scenario, especially if Mayfield can get healthy or get out of this game without further injury. You know, we haven't even mentioned the ankle, which that could be holding him back in a totally different way. So, but at least the injury report was thin. And this is it. Playoffs are on. The Sage is out. Lee, you got a final thought?
Well, I came up with something this afternoon. I sort of learned in the locker room, but I know better than to trust a player. Now, I'm not saying players are con to me, but I was talking with Luke Goedeke, and I got to thinking, well, I don't remember this guy sitting out any games, or at least any quarters. You know, I know Tristan Wirfs missed time. I know that left guard between Stinney and Filer, they're not 100%. Both those guys, as far as taking all the snaps. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't think Goedeke has missed a snap. I asked him. He said, no. I pulled it up on my phone. Nope, 100%. I know I wrote something about Cody Mock earlier in the week, and I noticed when I wrote that story, he's taking all the snaps, 100%. And then I looked up Robert Hainsey while I was in the locker room waiting. He took 100% of the snaps. That's kind of rare that you would have three guys next to each other on an offensive line. None of the three have missed a snap.
They've had good luck with injuries. Ira's mentioned that most of the year. And, of course, Wirfs has gutted through his ankle issues. And, you know, Stinney took over for Filer, who had gotten hurt. Yep. But Stinney stayed healthy. And, you know, it's been very smooth there. You know, hopefully they look like a second-year offensive line in this game versus the a first-year unit gelling together. But they still can't run the ball. So, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's good, but we're going to see it. And hopefully it's only running to close out the game, which they've done pretty well a couple of times this year, struggled a couple of times, but done that pretty well a few times. But yeah, it's a good testament to the durability. And Kate Otten has played almost more snaps than I've ever seen from a tight end ever. He just doesn't come out, and the big receivers have been healthy. So they've had a lot of luck there, but quarterbacks banged up, all that health on the offense sometimes doesn't mean as much when the important guy is slammed around. All right, Lee, we are thinking of Ira, who had a sort of a crazy day today, but he gutted it out. And we'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a Bucks W.